This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, Steve on the studio with me today, just a couple of homeschooling dads doing the best we can to bring a biblical worldview perspective into science, history, literature, the way we homeschool our kids. And we want to apply these things to various areas of life today. And today, Steve, I want to take up the extraterrestrial just for a little bit.
E.T.
E.T., that's right.
Yeah, that was a movie.
And this comes off of a WorldNet Daily story that just came out. And apparently this has been around the internet for about 2 years. So this is not new, but WorldNet Daily just picked it up. Apparently the NASA rover up on Mars. There's this NASA rover that's wandering around Mars right now. It's interesting in and of itself. One of the photos that came back looked a lot like an alien thigh bone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. An alien thigh bone. Wow. They found an alien thigh bone on Mars.
Looked like a rock to me.
Yeah, you saw the picture.
Yeah,
you saw a picture of it. Looks like it might have been a rock that had been eroded out right in the center of it. You know, there's this big old hole in the center, made it look something like a thigh bone.
Yeah.
Apparently, there were a couple of different strange formations of rocks. The one-ton Curiosity rover, which has been scouring the surface of the planet since August 2012, sent back a pair of images that resemble thigh bones and a hip bone protruding from the planet's surface. The alien hunter group Martian Archaeology presented the images in a video claiming the photos are evidence of signs of life. Now, that's interesting. I've never done Martian archaeology. Wonder if there's a class on that at Berkeley or something.
Well, whenever I see a bone, I think it's a sign of death.
Yeah, that's true. Something died.
Yeah.
Well, here's another point. If something died, it was subject to sin in the fall.
Right.
You know, so let's just use a biblical worldview here. Something's dead if we have a dead body on Mars. Apparently, Mars has been affected by the sin of Adam on the planet Earth some 6,000 years ago.
Yeah. So that.
So there goes that.
Yeah, there it goes.
Yeah, there goes that. Well, people have this infatuation with the extraterrestrial. And I think science fiction has increased, of course, much, much interest over the last number of years. And we've talked about how people have taken the 10,000 exit ramps off the highway of reality, always, always, always trying to find ways in which they can create a reality apart from our own reality because man is escaping God. So, you know, people are taking the 10,000 exit ramps off the highway of reality because they don't want to come face to face with the reality of themselves, their sin, God's existence, God's judgment towards them, and then their need for the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. These sorts of facts are very hard for modern man to deal with. And so one way in which man tries to deal with this psychologically is to escape and to escape and to escape, sometimes into drugs and alcohol, but most of the time into Hollywood. And since the 1970s, we've seen a massive increase in an interest in these kinds of movies. Sci-fi movie interest, according to Box Office Mojo, been up from $500 million total receipts in the 1970s to $5 billion so far in the 2010s.
Yeah, we're not even done with the 2010s.
No, we're not. Could be up to $8 billion by the time we're done. So,
yeah.
So that's an increase of about, 16-fold.
Yeah.
That's 16-fold increase. It went up gradually through the 1990s, about $1 billion of box office receipts for the entire decade on sci-fi movies, then $2 billion to sci-fi movies in the 2000s, up to $5 billion now in just the last 7 years. So, friends, a huge increase in the interest in sci-fi on the part of folks watching movies in the day in which we live. And I think, Steve, the question that we need to ask is this, especially when it comes to forensic evidence, when it comes to not experimentation done in laboratories where you repeat an experiment 100 times and conclude with 99% probability that this cause and effect relationship exists. That's inductive science.
Right.
But when you find this thing on Mars, okay, you can't test it. You can just look at it from 6 billion miles away or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, when people come to scientific conclusions on these things, whether it be certain fossils and rock layers laid down who knows when in New Mexico, or stones or rocks or something, some kind of hard object that is observed from 6 billion years away or 6 billion miles away. The question to ask is this: how bad do you want it to be a thigh bone? Right? That's the question. That's the big question for the sci-fi enthusiasts and for the evolutionists.
Right. It depends on who you ask. If you ask a Christian, it's a rock.
It's a rock, yeah. you ask a sci-fi enthusiast who's taken 10,000 exit ramps off the highway of reality and they don't want to face the true and living God, how bad do you want it, dude? What do you think he's going to answer?
He wants it.
I want it, that I want to want it, that I want to want it. Here's another question to ask. How bad did you want Nebraska Man to be Nebraska Man?
Yeah, the one tooth that ended up being Mr. and Mrs. Nebraska Man, which ended up being actually an extinct pig tooth. They wanted it pretty bad.
How bad did you want Lucy to be one of the missing links in the development or the evolution of man? How bad did you want it, leaky dude?
Yeah. I've talked to people on that. They want it really bad.
They want it bad.
Don't take Lucy.
I want Lucy.
I love Lucy.
I really love Lucy. I want a Lucy on this one. So the question to ask these quote unquote scientists or pseudoscientists is, how bad do you want it to be Nebraska Man? How bad do you want it to be a thigh bone? And here's the other question to ask. Why do you want it so badly? See, again, we get back to psychological reasoning. Why do they want it to be a thigh bone? Why do you want it so badly? Why do you want it? Why do you want extraterrestrial to be extraterrestrial beings? And I think it's because, Steve, I think the presence of something else besides God is attractive to man.
Yeah, or in the absence of God.
Yeah, that is, they don't want to deal with God, so... They are infatuated by the unknown. They want to believe in devils. They want to believe in ghosts. They want to believe in Bigfoot. They want to believe in E.T. because they don't want to believe in God. Now, that may not be for everybody, but psychologically, that's fallen man. That's what he wants to do. He creates diversions and distractions. It gives him something to be fanatical about, something maybe even in the supernatural world to be fanatical about, just so he doesn't believe in the true and living God. And this is, of course, the basis for witchcraft as well. Witchcraft is a huge diversion. It's this idea that there's some kind of spiritual power outside of the sovereign God, who is the source of all power and authority, big time, because he is the infinite source of all power and authority. They don't want to deal with the true supernatural, that is God himself, and so they get infatuated with working with demons and devils and ETs and all of these other things. Friends, this is what man wants to do, and moreover, evolution wants a sample size of two. You follow me?
Yeah.
Evolution's tired with just one sample size, that is one globe in which life developed. They want to prove that life can just appear somewhere else by natural processes, of which nobody has ever identified what it could be. Nobody knows how in the world life could develop, but I guess they think if you could just find 1,000 planets in which life has developed somewhat accidentally, then maybe we can conclude that in this universe life develops all in of itself. And so that's what evolution wants to see. Now, as Christians, how do we respond to this? Here's how we respond to it. You've got to respond with Psalm 8. Psalm 8 effectively presents man as the highest creature in the universe, created just under the angels. O Lord, our Lord, it says, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. And here it is. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All things. All things under his feet. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. And that includes the moon and the rocks on the moon. That is, man is the highest creature in the universe of all the things that God has created. Now, he's created just under the angels, but the angels technically are not part of the material universe. Man is above the stars. Man is above the moon. Man is above the rocks on the moon. In fact, we've already proven that. Man has taken dominion of the moon, and man has taken dominion of the rocks on the moon. The only created thing above man is the angels, not E.T. or any other created material thing. Now, this is ever so important, friends, as we consider the possibility of any kind of higher life form anywhere else. Not possible, because man is the highest created being in the universe and has been created to take dominion over all things, over every rock in the universe, if he ever has access to it. And there is no extraterrestrial being that could ever, ever, ever possibly be above man in the created universe. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
Hi, I'm Adam McManus. You may recognize my voice from the Worldview in 5 minutes, played at the beginning of the Generations Radio program every day. We've received so much positive feedback from our listeners about this newscast that we recently launched it as a standalone radio program at theworldview.com. Not only can you listen to this Christian newscast at theworldview.com, you can also subscribe to get the Worldview in 5 minutes delivered to you daily via email, iTunes, or other podcatchers via RSS. Needless to say, the whole process is quite time-consuming. 9 people work diligently to put it together. A couple people research the news stories at an hour apiece. Then the writers spend about 2 hours writing it, and I spend an hour or so taping it and editing it. And then finally, one of our editors adds in the music as well as the sound bites that were gleaned from interviews that very day. And all of it is 100% listener supported. If you've been encouraged by this broadcast, perhaps even using it in your own family worship like many of our listeners do, looking up scriptures and their relevance to today's headlines, please consider giving to support our continued work by going to generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. Again, that's generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, Steve Vaughn, also in studio. As we discuss the possibility of extraterrestrial ET, will there be any kind of extraterrestrial life that's determined on Mars or anywhere else in the universe? And we've made the point that man was created as a special creation of God. He is there in order to take dominion over all things under his feet. Granted, the list that is provided is largely what is on Earth, but it says you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So God has given to us the moon, the rocks on the moon, all things, in order to take dominion over these things. And we were not just created to get drunk and argue that God doesn't exist all day long, as Christopher Hitchens used to do.
Yeah.
Man was created for dominion. Man is created for the glory of God. It's interesting that the evolutionists and the atheists tend to undermine the highest calling for man, and that is to glorify God. They certainly don't want to glorify God. But, Steve, they don't want to take dominion either.
No. In fact, these evolutionists want to take all of creation and turn it upside down, whereas God made man at the end to be the pinnacle of his creation. Evolutionists say essentially that man is the lowest form of creation and that everything else is more important. They end up worshiping the pigs and the cows and the chickens and the earth and the stars and the aliens that don't exist and all of that. Man becomes the lowest level. Dominion goes backwards, goes in reverse. We are not to take dominion. We are supposed to leave dominion and let everything else go the way they think it's supposed to go.
Well, Steve, I think it's all very degrading. Humanists, evolutionists, they say that they're out to present man as a wonderful creation, but then they eventually present man as nothing but a piece of cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance with no ultimate purpose in life, and that eventually all things are going to be destroyed anyway, and the evolutionary process will begin again and again and again for no ultimate purpose whatsoever. So that's the worldview of the evolutionists. That's the worldview of the humanists. But we claim that man was created for a purpose. Man was created to glorify God. Man was created for dominion work. Man was created also for relationships, Steve. It's interesting that all of these things are being reversed. Man is no longer taking dominion. Man's no longer glorifying God and praising God and finding that worship on a Sunday morning with God's people is the highest calling that we could ever, ever express. But also, man was created for relationship, and relationship is dying out, too. When we started this radio program, we would always speak of how we're trying to restore relationship and truth to a lost and lonely world. That man is lost, yes, he has no truth, but man is also lonely. As man cuts off his relationship with God, he also cuts off his relationship with his fellow man. Remember, Adam cut off his relationship with God when he sinned in the garden, and then Cain cut off his relationship with his brother Abel when he killed him. You remember that?
Yes.
This is the process, friends. This is how man lives east of Eden. This is how John Steinbeck creates a worldview in which he is the vagabond. He's the perpetual vagabond of Cain wandering east of Eden, in which in the modern world, it's nothing but isolation. It's nothing but isolation, and it's nothing but isolation. John Steinbeck completely understood the Cain worldview, which has been imposed upon modern man big time. The online magazine The Week talked about loneliness being now a public health crisis. Loneliness being a public health crisis, seven times the people living alone today as did at the turn of the 20th century. But Mark Zuckerberg is now waiting in on this one and says he's got the fix for it. He's got the fix for loneliness in
really?
The modern world, yes.
Hopefully not Facebook.
No, it is Facebook.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's the solution.
Does that increase your relationship and decrease loneliness?
It's a solution.
that, back to my question.
Mark Zuckerberg has a solution. He just did a big speech last week, and he pointed out that Facebook has 2 billion users now. One-third of the world is on Facebook.
Wow.
But he's not content with it because only 100 million users are part of a meaningful community. That is, only 100 million users are actually using it in an addictive manner.
Oh, yeah.
So his goal is to make that 1 billion people addicted to Facebook on a daily basis.
Wow.
One of the problems here, Steve, is that according to this article, the Week, some studies have shown excessive use of social media makes a person even more lonely.
Even more lonely.
Yeah, exactly.
So social media more lonely.
So let's take 100 million really lonely people, and let's make that a billion
really
lonely
people. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the solution, according to Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg is exactly what the world needed east of Eden.
Yeah.
He's exactly what the world needed east of Eden. Now they're communicating, Steve.
Yeah.
Now they're communicating.
Yeah, so whereas God said it's not good for man to be alone,
yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg is saying,
yeah,
yes,
not,
it
not
is.
Not so bad. It all works out. Yeah. It all works out in the end. Well, it turns out, my friends, Zuckerberg has noted that membership in churches and Boy Scouts and Little League and so forth has decreased some 25% in recent years. So he's noted that, and he's trying to be the nice guy here, actually. He's saying, you know what, since churches aren't working out so well, maybe Facebook can be the new church.
Wow.
That's a quote here.
How can Facebook be the new church?
Yeah, Facebook, the new church. The social network can take on the role that religion once did in giving people a sense of community.
Yeah, but this is only a sense of community. It isn't community.
Yeah. It's all just a sense of community.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It's a facade.
Yeah, it is. Because you're interacting with people you're not seeing.
Right.
You're interacting with people you're knowing less and less of. Because you're not in face-to-face relationship with these people anymore. Of course, modern people cannot hardly tolerate human relationships anymore. They get into their conflicts and they can't really work them out. They church hop. They have to revert to church courts. And as people leave the churches, relationships grow more distant. Relationships become more tenuous. I like to say it's like an elastic strap. You know, if elastic strap is pulled many, 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 many times, or like a spring, pulled many, 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 many times, and pulled maybe a little too taut too many times. You take a spring, pull it a little too taut too many times. And eventually you do that enough times with divorce and church hopping and all the other ways in which you break relationship. The elastic will wear out after a while. The spring will wear out after a while. And human relationships wear out as well until people just sort of live by themselves, isolated from everybody else. And then you're finally fulfilling the goal of John Paul Sartre, the existentialist, who said, hell is other people.
Yeah. We teach it in our homeschool that it's like duct tape. You know, the first relationship you have, and then you pull off the duct tape, it pulls off the hair and some skin, and then you wrap the duct tape around another one. Eventually, Yeah. It just doesn't stick anymore.
Yeah.
And there is no relationship anymore.
Well, and that's the zeitgeist. That's the picture of the modern world. I know we critique the modern world for its evolution and for its feminism and for its homosexuality and all of these sorts of things. But friends, I think you need to remember there's something else going on here. There's a destruction of relationship, which comes through murder. Of course, it comes through abortion first. So it's the murder of relationship by abortion and divorce that eventually destroys relationship generation by generation by generation until Jesus shows up. And I think modern man needs to come to a realization that all of this divorce, all of this church hopping, all of this refusal to work out conflicts with one another over the generations, it results in the destruction of relationship. And ultimately is indication of the fact that our relationship with God has been hampered and has been destroyed. So in Ephesians chapter 2, I think, is such an important passage here, Steve, in which Jesus presents himself as our peace. He says he is our peace. Jesus is our peace. He's broken down the middle wall partition between Jew and Gentile. And by the way, that middle wall was, you know, it's been around for some 2,000 years. It's been around a long time. That's even more significant than the breakdown of the relationship between the Hatfields and McCoys.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing the Hatfields and McCoys, you know, probably aren't fighting as much as they used to. But the relationship between Jews and Gentiles was pretty significant and had been for some 2,000 years. And Jesus came to destroy and to bring down that wall of partition between them. And as Jesus came to bring down that wall, of course, he broke down the wall between God and man first. So he reconciled the relationship on the vertical first in order that he might break down the wall between Jew and Gentile, between those relationships that were a little stiff between brothers and sisters of different color or you name it. So I think wherever you see the true church, there has to be something of a reconciliation going on. There has to be something of a forgiveness going on. You know, given that we've been forgiven $10 billion from our offenses towards God, we ought to be able to forgive each other in the church. Instead of all of these walls created here and there and everywhere, there ought to be actually walls coming down within the church. And this is, I think, how we recognize the true church. Walls are coming down. Walls are coming down. And we're reconciling ourselves to our brothers and sisters, regardless of their background. We're willing to come together right at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and realize that there is forgiveness with Christ. There is a reconciliation with Christ. There is a unity with Christ. I can't think of anything more unifying than brothers and sisters from all sorts of backgrounds coming together, confessing different sins. So there's diversity. We believe in diversity in the Christian church. The diversity is that we're all a bunch of sinners and we sin different sins.
Yes.
That's the diversity. Let's face it. That's it. Who cares about skin color, all the rest? The fact is we come together at the foot of the cross with all these different sins. We got maximum diversity with all the sins we have sinned. And we confess these sins and we ask for cleansing from all of our sins. And we are effectively saved by the same grace and by the same blood. If the very same blood cells were shed on that cross for each and every one of us at the foot of the cross, there ought to be maximum unity at that cross.
Yes, and there's got to be a risk being taken. I mean, people don't even want to make phone calls anymore. If you can't talk to each other on the phone, you have to text.
Yeah.
How in the world are you going to have a relationship with the God who made you, the God who actually speaks? As Hebrews chapter 1 says, we have a God who speaks to us. We need to be willing to speak back. We can't text God.
Yeah.
We need to talk to each other. And that part of relationship as we get together in the church also happens where we fellowship with each other face-to-face, one-on-one. Let's get off Facebook, take a chance, call your friends.
That's right. And get together at a coffee shop. There should be all sorts of Bible studies. There should be all kinds of community going on within the body of the church, all kinds of prayer meetings in which there's all kinds of unity, all kinds of neat conversations, relationship building going on within the church. And within the true church, there should be an amazing contrast with the dry and deadened relationship world of those around us who have effectively killed relationship through Facebook and through all of the systems of anonymity and through divorce, all the broken relationships that tend to follow in the wake of the unbelievers. But as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to see a process of reconciliation taking place, a reconciliation first with God and then with each other. Friends, that is the gloriousness of the Christian gospel. May we experience this. May we embrace this. May we find increased relationships in the body of the church, among our presbyteries, between our denominations. May we see an amazing relationship developing because our relationship with God has been restored through our Lord Jesus Christ because He is our peace. Well, that, my friends, is the basis for human relationship and the restoration of relationship in a cold, lost, and lonely postmodern world. It is the winter of human relationship, but we are going to melt the snow by the summer of the Son of Jesus Christ. And, friends, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. We'd love to hear your comments. We'd love to hear questions from you. We'd like to interact with your questions on this radio broadcast. Email me at host@kevinswanson.com. And be sure to get your family members and your friends tuning into our program at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this summer, Thursday, August 31st through Sunday, September 3rd, and experience the blessing of 4 days of solid teaching and mountain activities at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges near Winter Park, Colorado. Register at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. It's Tuesday, July 11th, A.D. 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. On the most recent Lord's Day, the Church of England's General Synod declared that it is not a sin for a man to wear women's clothes and seek to change his body to look like a woman. But God's word from Deuteronomy 22:5 says, "A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God." In addition, the Anglican archbishops have appointed working groups to report back to the synod in 3 years on the subject of homosexual marriage. The archbishops of Canterbury and York are calling for a, quote, "radical new Christian inclusion in the church," unquote, that is based on, quote, "a proper 21st century understanding of being human and being sexual," unquote. China is propping up North Korea and enabling them to develop their military complex. The Wall Street Journal points out that China has increased its imports from North Korea by 500% over the last 10 years, while other nations have cut their imports out of the rogue nation by a substantial 85%. The UK judge responsible for ruling on Charlie Gard's parental rights case has set the hearing for this Thursday and Friday. His parents delivered a petition containing over 370,000 names to the London hospital, requesting permission to take their own child to the United States for treatment. Charlie's parents have raised $1,664,000 through a GoFundMe site to seek experimental treatment for their baby. A UK barrister named Paul Simon told the Daily Signal that this case highlights the importance of parental rights and the, quote, "malfunction," unquote, of British family court. Things are not looking so good for the Republican health care bill in the U.S. Senate, intended to repeal and replace the Obamacare program. CNN reports at least 8 Republican senators have announced their opposition to the second attempt, 4 moderates and 4 conservatives. Senator Marco Rubio has been tweeting Bible verses almost every day for 2 months now, and leftleaningpolitico.com has taken him to task for it. The article accused him of favoring the most Republican book of the Bible, the book of Proverbs. Rubio's response came in the next tweet.
Where words are many, sin is not wanting, but those who restrain their lips do well. Proverbs 10:19. Both Oregon State House and Senate have now approved the so-called Reproductive Equity Act that would require insurance companies to cover abortion and contraceptives with abortifacient qualities. Democrat Governor Kate Brown is expected to sign the bill into law. The Toledo, Ohio City Council has come up with an innovative way to curtail free speech in public areas in front of abortion mills. Tonight, the council is considering an ordinance that would restrict prayer vigils to certain days and hours when the abortion facilities are not open. If you would like to stand shoulder to shoulder with pro-lifers there interested in preserving free speech, you can email the 13 members of the Toledo City Council in one fell swoop through the website ToledoTeaParty.com. Jeremiah 6:10 says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn." Back in 2007, Donald Trump challenged Vince McMahon of World Wrestling Entertainment to a battle of the billionaires in which Trump pretended to body slam McMahon near the wrestling ring and got in a couple of fake punches to the delight of 85,000 pro wrestling fans. The video was doctored by a Reddit user who superimposed the CNN logo over McMahon's face. The president linked to the video on his Twitter account, and the video was retweeted 340,000 times. CNN responded to the humorous video by calling it a, quote, "sad day when the President of the United States encourages violence against reporters," unquote. Dan Gaynor, Vice President for Business and Culture for the Media Research Center, told The Worldview that the video revealed the cultural divide in stark contrast.
It's one of those things where you can tell how much the media hate him and how much his supporters like it. You look at the people who like Trump and they just think it was funny. This is one of the things that really damages the credibility of the traditional press like CNN.
TV Newser reports a 31% drop in viewers for CNN since the last week in May, and they slipped from 4th place to 10th place in cable ratings. Meanwhile, viewership for Fox News is holding steady, as the conservative news network has been ranked at first place for 248 months running. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, July 11th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.